Good evening and welcome. You're now tuned in to News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained. To have all that going on because he's here, he's back, and we're excited about that. Dr. Bruce Lipton, who you recall obviously from the What the Bleep movie and our earlier interview, which took News for the Soul audience by storm. Lots of rave reviews on that one. DrBruceLipton.com is the website, and his gift is bridging science and spirit, so let's dive in. Welcome back, Dr. Lipton.
Well, thanks for this wonderful opportunity. Well, for me, it's kind of exciting because I really wasn't into this field at all, and I wasn't spiritual, and when I started to follow the path that science was leading me, I was like in total shock when I realized, oh my God, spirituality and consciousness are primary. And it was a big surprise because I was teaching genes and biochemistry and machine-like capacities of the human body, and the fact that there's a live operator behind it was surprising. What the research was really involved with was that cells are like miniature people in that every cell has every functional system that we have in our body is already present in every single cell. So every cell has a digestive or respiratory, nervous system, reproductive system, etc. And when I started to dive into this, I was looking at, where's the nervous system of the cell? And of course, what I was teaching at that time years ago was that the nervous system was the equivalent of the nucleus where all the genes were, because the conventional belief is genes control the biology and therefore genes control life. And I, you know, was teaching somewhat the same kind of ideas in medical school, but my research on cloned cells started to reveal that, no, that the behavior was not apparently controlled by the DNA. In fact, some of the experiments that I did, I removed or destroyed the DNA in a cell. And of course, the logical point behind the experiment is if the DNA controls the cell like the brain, then if you destroy the brain in any living organism, the immediate consequence of that is death. And yet, when I destroyed the DNA or removed the nucleus from a cell, the cell didn't die. And in fact, the surprising part was that it was carrying on with all the same behavior and coordinated functions that it had before I pulled out the nucleus. So, I mean, it's like I'm looking at it thinking, well, obviously something is coordinating, controlling the functions of the cells to keep it alive and in the environment, and yet it can't be the genes. And that's where all of a sudden I started to go off on this tangent to say, so where is that control coming from? To make a very short story is, after a lot of research, I was led to the cell membrane, which is the equivalent of the skin of the cell. And what it turned out is this cell membrane, which in the microscope looks like nothing. It looks like a piece of saran wrap. It's got hardly any visible structure to it. It's so, actually, the cell membrane is so thin that biologists didn't even know that the cell membrane really existed until the late 1940s when the electron microscope was developed, because it required magnifications that were available only in an electron microscope, not in a light microscope, to see that it was there. But the big surprise was, since the late 1940s, it was found that every living cell has a cell membrane, and that all the cell membranes physically and functionally are the same, whether they're amoeba or a human. And so when I started to track it down, that was the big surprise, because, as I said, people looked at the simplicity of the structure in the microscope and said, oh, well, obviously that's so simple, it can't be doing anything really except acting as a skin and letting certain things in and letting certain things out. Well, that was true, except they didn't realize that in letting certain things into the cell, letting certain things out of the cell, that wasn't a passive process. That was very active, meaning the membrane was controlling that. But looking at the structure said, yeah, but it's so simple a structure that we just relegated the membrane to a passive thing because it was so simple. The big surprise is that in that simplicity was elegance. And that's in this regard, that the cell membrane is the molecular equivalent of a computer chip. So the skin is like a computer that reads the environment. On one side of the skin is the outside world, and the other side of the skin is the inside world. And the skin, being the interface between the two, becomes aware of what's going on in the outside world, what's going on in the inside world, and in its interface function it becomes an information processor that reads, let's say, the outside world and then adjusts the inside world's function to meet the demands of the outside world. Now, all this is getting complicated except for the fact that a human is made in the image of a cell. And why that is interesting, because then from that parallel story, I would have to say, well, then the skin of the human is the brain. And in fact, it is. and that's from an embryology point of view, that the human brain is derived from the skin.